Robert, let's look out 10 years from now. What do you see the future of robotics in this world?
I see a very, very good future. Of course, I'm biased towards the field. I really think that the little blip that you've seen so far in the advances of using new computer technology is actually just the start for really making use of being able to communicate and compute much, much faster than we used to be able to.
Do you think it's the computers that will make robotics advance so much?
I think that it's the fastest moving part of the whole process. Even 5 years ago, I could not connect a couple of cameras to a robot and have it be able to process imagery fast enough to be able to do anything useful with. We could sit it on a desktop and have it crunch on images that we took an hour ago and come up with a conclusion in a half a day, and that whole process has now been sped up to minutes or seconds. So robots really are going to be able to move into the real world and be able to operate at speeds that at least humans are used to operating at, and this will kind of continue to bring about a revolution in the whole area, and hopefully will bring about a lot of useful robots that are helping people in their daily lives as well as helping us all explore space as a country.
Honda has a robot called Osimo, and this thing dances and does all kinds of things already.
I've seen that robot. It's fantastic. I'm a big fan of it. They've done a good job of really combining actuators in such a way that you can get a smooth motion out of it. And that's one of the things that we're not used to when we're looking at robots, and that's one of the things that robots in movies terrorize people with is jerky, monster-like motions. The Honda robot is very fluid in its movements. I have to say, I think there's still a lot of just following step after step to make those movements happen. So it's great to look at the robot and say, well, it's really moving smoothly and like a person would walk, but if you walked up to it and put a rock under its foot, it might have trouble right away. Or if you said, play jump rope with me, we're still many, many years away from having a robot just be able to change its mode of operating and kind of the zone that it's designed to operate in. But these are all things that are going to take work, but we have really made a fantastic start in this direction.
Sony has a robot dog for a pet. You can play with this thing. Have you seen this one?
Yeah, and I've actually played with one. One of the things that really excites me about the Aibo, Sony's dog, is that it's really moved robotics into the home for the first time as an entertainment robot.
Yeah, well, it doesn't eat and it doesn't soil.
Right. That's another good side product you've pointed out there.
You don't have to rush home to get it to go outside.
Exactly. And I would have thought, if I had to guess before they came out, that maybe people would get bored with playing with the Sony dog, but that's not the case for a lot of new adopters. They've actually taken right to it, and they treat it like a pet or a toy or a combination of both, and so they've sold thousands and thousands of them, and before a few years ago we had no robotic pet of any kind that people would go home to and have waiting for them to play with them.
I mean, it's got 250 movements,
right.
18 joints, and I mean, it is amazing.
They are truly incredible, and they've done some really good manufacturing engineering to integrate all of the different parts. They're still using motors for moving things. There's nothing revolutionary there. We've been using wound up copper wire to move things using electricity for decades and decades, but they've taken these things and put them into really molded plastic shell in such a way that it all moves together. And to achieve the kind of smooth trajectories they're getting for the appendages, you have a chunky processor sitting in that robot controlling all of those different joints that you mentioned at the same time in certain sequences. And so this again is a really great marriage of new technologies that have come out recently, and so now we're finally starting to see the results that you get when you make electronics very small and able to work simultaneously on 128 different motors at the same time.
Well, I'd take a real dog, but this one's kind of neat.
I'm with you. I haven't bought one myself. I'm saving up.
What do they cost?
I believe they started at $2,000 each.
Oh, my God.
And now they're down to $1,500. But that I really have to tell you, is relatively tiny compared to all the robots that you'd come across these days.
Well, the JPLs, they each cost about $400 million apiece, didn't they?
You got it. And there's another example of a home robot product that I'm aware of. Some of the guys that I worked with on the East Coast, iRobot, put together a robot vacuum cleaner, and that's a real operating robot that you can put in your house. And it will suck up the dirt off of your floor, and when it drives up to the edge of a staircase, it'll stop and not drive off of it. And so it can detect those negative obstacles.
How about a robot lawnmower, too, one day, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are around, although they're not as popular as the vacuum cleaning robot, and that is being sold for about $200, which, in my opinion, is the most amazing part of the whole experience. And so this is an example of a robot that's doing house cleaning, and how many years have we had housewives and house husbands requesting a robot at home to do their cleaning for them? This is a fantastic development.
I wonder how much you have to pay the robot to clean your house.
Right. Well, that's a good point. Fortunately, we don't have any kind of labor laws for robots yet, and as you were alluding to earlier, we haven't had any major catastrophes with robots getting away from us and deciding to take over the rest of the world.
Could that happen, Robert?
I have to say I'm on the side of no, because of just the experience that I have with how these things work. And, you know, basically, in my opinion, there's still something very basic missing that a robot needs to be able to be creative like a human being.
Emotion or something.
Yeah, there's, you know, in people there's this basic quality that they can create art or engineer things or come up with new ways of solving problems or figuring out the best way to sell a car. There's just so much creation happening, and this is kind of really the key point that I've struck upon just personally, is that I don't see any injection of the ability to be the source of an idea in a robot. They are still constrained by what the programmer or the creator or inventor has told them to do.